Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, listen to this line from the last verse of what we just sang. This is the, I don't know, one of the fullest ways to think about the beauty of God's salvation for us, what it means for us. Yet she on earth has union with God the three in one. Just let that sink in a little bit. He's talking about the church, which is made up of God's people, his human creatures who are married to him, you know, as part of the church. That's one of the metaphors used. But just think about that, union. She on earth has union with God, the three in one, union with God. The story of our salvation is nothing less than God uniting us to himself, uniting human beings to himself. It's the union of heaven and earth. It's incredible. I need my bulletin. In this relationship between us and God, between you and God, united together, this is obviously not an equal relationship. There's an unequal dynamic to it, and that is that God is our creator and we are created. Right? He's the shaper and he shapes us. Right? He is Jesus Christ is the truth. And he teaches us the truth. Right? He lifts us up into divine understanding and gives us his own mind. Right? But it's not like we come to an agreement together. It's like, let's negotiate this, and then we just are united as equals. That's not the dynamic of this relationship. There's a hierarchy there. God is the potter. We are the clay, as we saw in Isaiah 29. There's another hierarchy in Isaiah 29. He says, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. Right? Hearts and lips. There's a hierarchy there. Right? There's a hierarchy. And you know, don't let your mouth run, you know, without first directing it from your heart. Is that a good thing to remember every day, right? Don't put your foot in your mouth. I wonder how that relates to this image. I don't know. Right? But basically, like, you need to be governing your words just like you govern your actions. Right? But that's the key. Just like God governs his people, shapes his clay, you do the same thing, right? You shape your words. You govern your words and your actions. There's a hierarchical relationship like this between your head and your body. Or at least there needs to be, right? I was thinking, you know, this morning with Ken Strieb playing so beautifully on the organ, like, what would it be like if Ken were not mastering the keys, you know, and the keys were mastering him? That would be, something to listen, not to listen to, right? There's got to be an order there. Right. That's really obvious, right? But actually, maybe it's not so obvious in our day and age. You know, maybe that's why, you know, that's a little bit related to modern art. You know, why you look at modern art and you go, like, what is that? You know, there's kind of a celebration of chaos and what springs up naturally, what emerges naturally without the intent of the artist. Right, but sometimes, I mean, I said this a few weeks ago, but I think we're kind of in a phase in the lectionary where the readings are aiming us this way quite a bit. That's why you can look at the gradual later, but it kind of matches all of this too, and it's been for weeks. But I think that today, as a young father, you know, hearing from our society, I'm taught by our society to raise my children like you might make modern art, right? Like, throw it at the wall and see what happens. That kind of thing. right? Order and hierarchy are bad words today, at least among some. Right? This is the trajectory of our postmodern culture. It's a rebellion against order. It's a turning things upside down, we might say, because we think there's a right side up. Right? Turning things upside down and letting chaos rule, because order and rule are, well, inherently oppressive. Anyway, so it's not that obvious today necessarily that there needs to be someone in charge, until you start thinking of real world examples like your company, whether you're an employee or CEO or manager, whatnot. You recognize there's got to be order, or this thing's going to fall apart. Right? Or you're on a sports team, right? Or you're in a classroom, you're the child or you're the teacher. You recognize, wait a second, there's got to be hierarchy. The child doesn't recognize that, right? But the best thing for the child is to be nestled in that hierarchy and to find his or her place in obedience to the teacher. And then everything's going to go well, and be working in harmony. And they're going to learn, right? They're going to be shaped by their teacher, like clay is shaped by the potter. So this relationship, it's true on every level of reality. And here in Isaiah, we see it in the creator and the creature, right? The potter and the clay. We also see it in the heart and the lips. Right? God's saying, like, okay, you're honoring me with your lips, but it's not coming from your heart. Right? The proper order is for our hearts to be shaped by God, and then our lives, our words, our actions to be shaped by our heart. See that? So to reverse it, right, my words and actions ought to be coming from my heart, which ought to be coming from God, right? Shaped by God. That's the proper order. And finally, there's one more that's not as obvious, at least one more that I'm going to point out, and that is in the next line, and their fear for me is a commandment taught by men. Although I think it says it again somewhere there. But so commandments taught by men versus commandments taught by God. Right? And some people take a verse like this, or like in our gospel reading about traditions, like you hold to the traditions of men and say, like, traditions of men, get rid of them, right? But no, the key is, like, what's the order there? You know, is the tradition flipping things upside down, right, and replacing God's word, or is it shaped by God's word? Right, so like we can still shake hands when we meet, you know, and like look at each other when we talk to each other, and traditions like that, right? Traditions aren't bad, but there's an order there, and it needs to be shaped. So the traditions of men need to be governed by the commandments of God, and not the other way around. So we need hierarchy. There is this structure, and the best version of it is with God. We can submit to God and have Him shape us. Like, there's no fear in doing that. Like, no, that's not going to create problems for us ultimately. Right? It might not seem like the most fun path or like a good idea in the moment, just like a child doesn't necessarily understand, you know, why his father or mother is telling him what to do, you know, and it's not what he wants. Right? We might not recognize it, but we know that just like an earthly father or mother hopefully has the best in mind for a child. I mean, we kind of take that for granted, right? Well, we can trust that God has our best in mind. How? You know, God showed his love for us in this while we were still sinners. Like, while we were, you know, rebellious children, not wanting to listen to him, right? Done with him. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for us to sacrifice himself, to lay down his life for his sheep, for his friends. We can trust God. Just transfer that image to the epistle reading and Christ, right, sacrificing himself for the church, laying down his life for the church, and treating the church like his body, you know, like he's like you care for your own body when you get up and take a shower and comb your hair and such, you know, like we don't all value hygiene at the same level, or, you know, like I don't know. I don't put makeup on, you know, like I'm thinking like, you know, how much do I really care for my body? But I think I do, right? I mean, this is, my body's pretty important to me, really. You know, if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be up here talking, right? And so I do love my body, and so I guess it's a good image, right? Christ loved the church, right? And you got that image of like washing the church, right? Washing us from sin and being so messed up. So Christ here is pictured as a husband, and I mean, you know, the limitation of the image is that husbands don't, you know, don't live up to the, you know, what Christ does for the church, right? There's a comparison there in a sense, right? And something to strive for and to live into, but not a comparison in terms of, you know, degrees of success, right? Christ loves with a perfect love and never has to say he's sorry, right? But that's not true of any of the human levels of this hierarchy that we're talking about. That's not true. Even in with relation to like my heart and my body, right? Often I do my body a disservice by my own governing of it, right? By eating what I shouldn't, or right, like just mistreating it is what happens. There's an odd Bible story that speaks to this, okay, to the flipping things upside down, that I think is instructive and kind of fun. It's you remember the story, maybe from Sunday school growing up, where Balaam gets rebuked by his own donkey. Remember that? Okay, so Balaam is asked by a foreign king to curse Israel. Of course, it's not a good idea, right? That's not what God's going to want. And Balaam kind of knows it, you know, but it kind of seems like he's I don't know, you could say honoring God with his lips and not his heart. Like there's a deceit, you know, going on within him. Okay, so that hierarchy's out of whack. But then he's not submitting to God and his word. He's not being shaped by God's word. And so that hierarchy's, you know, turned upside down. And then he's riding his donkey. And that's a hierarchy too, you know. Like somebody riding a donkey is telling the donkey what to do, and the donkey shouldn't be telling the rider what to do. Ideally, like you don't want your horse going wild or your donkey going wild. You know, you gotta direct it. And maybe you spend a long time. I don't know. I see some of you maybe have done this. I don't know. Gotta spend a long time making that relationship work, right? Kind of like a marriage. Kind of like a, you know, parents and children, teacher in classroom. Okay, so you're, Balaam's riding his donkey, and they come to an angel standing in the way with a sword, flaming sword, I think. But Balaam can't see it. You know, kind of like when you're going the wrong way, you've got the wrong, you're going to harm your body or harm somebody else, right? But maybe you think it's a good idea, like you are blind to the consequences, okay? But Balaam's donkey can see it. God gives the donkey the ability to see the angel, and Balaam can't see it. And so the donkey's stopping. He's like, no, we're not going here. And Balaam's like, come on, let's go, right? And then God gives the ability to the donkey to speak. And the donkey's like, I honestly don't remember what he says. You got to go look it up because it's hilarious, you know. But he's just kind of like, "Come on!" There's a time for the body to rebuke the heart, right? There's a time for citizens to rebuke government. I mean, right? I mean, it's not that hierarchies are always functioning well. And so St. Paul says, you know, husbands love your wives. Wives submit to your husbands. like, there's a time for a husband to hear from a wife, like, this isn't working. You know, you're not leading us according to God's will or something like that, right? And so a husband, you know, as the head of the family, as the head of the wife, you know, sometimes needs to hear it, right? So the human levels of the hierarchy, there's always you know, confession and forgiveness, repentance and forgiveness to make this work. Well, Paul reminds us, like, but you know, I'm talking about Christ in the church. You know, this pattern applies to husbands and wives and to other levels of reality, but this profound mystery that I'm talking about, it refers to Christ in the church. See, that's one reason to hold on to it, I think, is that Paul's saying that the relationship between husband and wife it's not just about the relationship between a husband and a wife. It's actually expressing the pattern of the relationship between Christ and the church, between heaven and earth, between, you know, God and his people. It's almost like a teaching tool and a reminder. It's this embodiment of a greater reality, and that is God's love for us and faith in God, right? Both of them together. We live in an age that says, forget the hierarchy, right? But children, right? God has given you parents, father and mother, and grandparents, and rulers, you know, authorities, governors, teachers, to look up to and to learn from, to submit to. Right? And that's so your place that God has given you is one of submission, right? Of listening and obeying. And that's a beautiful thing. And one day you are going to be given responsibility, right? To take up authority. It might be over a classroom, right? It might be over in a family, it might be in a job, you know, or you might have a role to obey, right? Or to do what somebody else wants, the will of somebody else as an employee and whatnot, right? And so this is the time that you're practicing. Because when you get to my age, you know, or any of our ages for that matter, it's a little harder to learn, right? But this is the gift that God has given us, that he has nested us in his hierarchy, right? He's made us part of his family. He's lifted us up out of, you know, wherever I would have led myself, apart from God's word. And he forgives us, right? And he shapes us by his word, shapes us all together, holds us together in his love, in his body. He calls us his own body, his own family, his own country, right? That we're citizens of. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And it's a blessing to be part of the body with you, to be part of the country with you, part of the family with you. We are family in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.